From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri. As usual, I will present you some information. Well, listeners, stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voanews.id.
We begin the kaleidoscope of Voice of Indonesia from January 2, 2019. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited the survivors of the Sunda Strait tsunami in Kalianda, South Lampung. On the occasion, he said that the government would register the houses of survivors which were destroyed by the tsunami in a bid to prepare a reconstruction plan. After observing the impacts of tsunami at East Wai Muli Village, Raja Basa Subdistrict, South Lampung, the President called on Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono to design the reconstructions of public housing, which was shattered by the tsunami. The new housing was planned to be established around 400 meters from the shoreline, namely near Mount Raja Basa. At the village, President Joko Widodo and his entourage observed the houses of survivors who were destroyed by the tsunami striking the Sunda Strait on December 22, 2018. Still from January 2, 2019, an international financial magazine called The Banker named Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati the Finance Minister of the Year 2019. The title was given to applaud Minister Sri Mulyani's achievements in overcoming various economic challenges throughout 2018. There were a number of factors why The Banker selected Sri Mulyani to receive the title. First, Sri Mulyani could maintain Indonesia's economic resilience despite a number of impediments, such as natural disaster that hit Indonesia in 2018. Second, Minister Sri Mulyani could improve Indonesia's economy during disaster through risk financing and insurance strategies in a bid to expedite post-disaster relief and recovery. In addition, under her administration, the Indonesian Finance Ministry has imposed 0% value-added tax on exported services, which aims to stimulate the performance of Indonesia's trade sector. The Banker is an international financial magazine owned by the Financial Times, which is based in London. The magazine is the primary source of data and analysis of financial and banking sector. On January the 25th, 2019, Indonesia made a new history in the international maritime world by being the first archipelagic state in the world which has Traffic Separation Seam, or TSS. The agreement of the Traffic Separation Seam was made at the 6th session of the International Maritime Organization IMO Navigation, Communication Search and Rescue, Subcommittee and CSR. The meeting consented and ratified the traffic separation seam in the Sunda Strait and the Lombok Strait proposed by Indonesia. Afterwards, the agreement was adopted at the 101st sessions of the IMO Maritime Safety Committee (MSC) in June 2019. Moving on to February. On February 4, 2019, Indonesian Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli and Swiss Justice Minister Karin Keller-Sutter signed an agreement on mutual legal assistance in Bern, Switzerland. The agreement was signed after two meetings held in Bali, Indonesia, and Bern, Switzerland. The agreement, which consists of 39 articles, stipulates legal assistance on tracking, freezing, confiscations and seizure of criminal assets. Minister Yasona Lawli pointed out that the mutual legal assistance agreement could help tackling tax evasion. On February 16, 2019, former Dutch ambassador to Indonesia, Rob Swartwol, handed over the 2018 Prince Claus Awards to an Indonesian author named Eka Kurniawan at the Erasmus Swiss or the Dutch Culture Center in Jakarta. Previously, Eka Kurniawan also received the awards given by the Kingdom of the Netherlands through a formal ceremony held at the Royal Palace, Amsterdam. Former Ambassador Rob Swartwol, in his remarks at the ceremony of the Prince Claus Awards 2018, explained a number of reasons why the judges selected Eka Kurniawan to be the laureate of the awards.
His writing combines elements of local folklore traditions, oral history, very Indonesian, magical realism, Indonesian martial arts, and horror comics to portray people's multi-layered experiences. His novels, short stories, essays, movie scripts, and graphic novels break through social barriers, reaching diverse audiences in an entertaining way with local stories that reveal terrible historical truth.
The Prince Claus Awards is held annually by the Prince Claus Fund to honor the outstanding achievement of individuals, groups, and organizations in the fields of cultures and development whose works can inspire and influence the society. Eka Kurniawan, an Indonesian author who was born in Tasikmalaya, West Java, was selected to be one of the laureates of the Prince Claus Awards 2018 in the category of literature. Other categories include theater, architecture and urbanism, film, media, photography and dance. On February 28, 2019, the Indonesian government officially imposed zero tariff on Palestinian imports commodities. It was remarked by former Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita. In addition, he explained that the Indonesian government did not conduct feasibility study about the implementation of zero tariffs on Palestinian imports commodities, unlike the trade agreements made with other countries. We are committed to maintaining our trade relations and brotherhood with Palestine. Therefore, former Vice President Yusuf Kalla emphasized that Indonesia would impose zero tariffs on Palestinian import commodities. Meanwhile, Palestinian Ambassador to Indonesia in Jakarta, Zuhair Al-Sun, sincerely appreciated the decision of the Indonesian government in a bid to support Palestinian economy. His side had also submitted the list of other potential commodities which could receive tariffs exemption from the Indonesian government. Palestine is Indonesia's 164th export destination. Indonesia's main export commodities to Palestine consist of coffee, tea, pasta, bread, perfume, and soap. Meanwhile, Palestine is Indonesia's 162nd importer. Palestine's main export commodity to Indonesia is dates. We continue to march. On March 3, 2019, personnel of the Operation Tinombala, a joint task force of the Indonesian police military, shot dead one of the members of a terrorist group known as the East Mujahideen Indonesia and arrested another member. In addition, the joint task force personnel also found an M16 rifle at that crime scene. On March 4, 2019, the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement, IACEPA, was officially signed by former Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita and Australian Trade, Tourism and Investment Minister Simon Birmingham. The agreement eliminates 100% tariffs on Indonesia's import goods and 94% tariffs on Australian import goods. The agreement also facilitates Indonesia and Australia to have higher access in the sectors of investment and services, including the movement of professionals. On March 5, 2019, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and former Commissioner General of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, Pierre Karenbol, signed an agreement on the 1 million contribution of the Indonesian government for the Palestinian refugees in the Jaros camp, Jordan. The 1 million contribution aimed to support the needs of food and health care of the Palestinian refugees. On March 11, 2019, the Malaysian court released Siti Aisyah, an Indonesian citizen who was accused of murdering the half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, named Kim Jong-nam. Siti Aisyah and a Vietnamese citizen named Doan Thi Huong were accused of murdering Kim Jong-nam by poisoning him in February 2017. Meanwhile, Siti Aisyah's attorney, Goi Sun Seng, said that her client would face trial again if there are new evidence. On March 12, 2019, the Indonesian government launched the National Plastic Action Partnership Program. The initiative was an example of the Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Ministry commitment to reducing 70% of marine waste by 2025. Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Bin Sarpanjaitan at the press conference of the launching of the National Plastic Action Partnership Program in Jakarta on Monday perceived the program to be promising in overcoming marine waste.
Dan ini sebenarnya tindak lanjut daripada pertemuan kita di Bali.
The program is the follow-up of the annual meeting IMF, International Monetary Fund, World Bank held in Bali in 2018. During the meeting, we also held the Trihita Karana Forum, which is a platform giving initiatives for sustainable development. The forum mobilized fund up to $10 billion. The fund aims to support projects related to environment, for example, the National Plastic Action Partnership Program. We strive to overcome 70% of plastic waste by 2025. Since it is an ambitious target, the government must work hard to achieve it. We have adopted the program in our education and school curriculum. In addition, we have also developed the action plan. I think it is a very promising thing. The action plan, which has been launched and implemented, was uploaded at the meeting. On March 16, 2019, flash flood and landslide hit Sentani Jayapura, Papua. Based on the data of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, 104 people were killed in the disaster. In addition, 9,691 people were displaced in 18 areas. Flash flood also severely destroyed 375 houses, 5 prayer facilities, 8 schools, 104 shop houses, 4 bridges and 4 roads. On March 24, 2019, Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the first phase of Mass Rapid Transit's MRT connecting Lebak Bulus in South Jakarta to the Hotel Indonesia Roundabout in Central Jakarta at the Hotel Indonesia Roundabout in Jakarta. After the inauguration of the new transportation mode, President Joko Widodo said that MRT not only supports the mobility of people, but it also epitomizes the advancement of public transportation culture in Indonesia, particularly in the capital city, Jakarta.
Inilah nanti budaya baru yang ingin terus kita kenalkan.
This is the new culture of transportation that we will keep introducing and disseminating to the society. This is a new civilization. We must be optimistic to change the habits of people in using public transportation. Take for example, firstly people must queue before entering MRT. Secondly, people must not litter at MRT stations and inside the MRT. Third, we must be punctual. MRT is the new culture of transportation. There will be no significant impacts if we do not comply with the rules. Therefore, we must maintain and take care of our MRT. We will also immediately continue the construction of other MRT projects. We continue to April. On April 1, 2019, Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated three special economic zones: Bitung Special Economic Zone, Melawi Special Economic Zone, and Morotai Special Economic Zone. The inauguration of the three special economic zones was carried out at the Samratulangi Airport, Manado, North Sulawesi. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo remarked that the establishment of the three special economic zones aims to attract investors, improve the competitiveness of Indonesia's products, and create equitable development. On April 9, 2019, Indonesia was named the world's best halal tourism destination 2019 based on the Global Muslim Travel Index 2019, surpassing 130 countries. CEO of Crescent Rating, Fazal Bahardin, when presenting report of the Global Muslim Travel Index 2019 in Jakarta, stated that based on the index released by MasterCard's Crescent Rating, Indonesia is in the top list of the Global Muslim Travel Index along with Malaysia. Both countries scored 78. Indonesia's rank in the Global Muslim Travel Index gradually improved. The country was ranked the 6th in 2015, the 4th in 2016, the 3rd in 2017, the 2nd in 2018, and finally it became the first one in 2019. On April 10, 2019, Indonesia and the United States of America commemorated the 70th anniversary of their diplomatic relations by launching a special stamp at the office of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta. Former Foreign Affairs Deputy Minister A.M. Fahir said that the 70th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and the United States of America is an important momentum to enhance cooperation between the two countries, concretely in various aspects. On the occasion, U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph R. Donovan pointed out that Indonesia is the strategic partner of the U.S. that has a pivotal role for the sustainability of bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and the U.S. Joseph Donovan explained that the diplomatic relation between the two countries have been built based on the values of democracy and shared interests in a bid to achieve outstanding future for both countries. On April 14, 2019, Indonesian President Joko Widodo paid a courtesy call to Saudi Arabia. The president met Saudi Arabian King, King Salman bin Abdul Aziz, in a bid to discuss a number of issues. Based on the meeting, Saudi Arabia approved 10,000 additional Hajj quota for Indonesian pilgrims. In addition, the two countries also agreed to enhance Saudi Arabian investment in Indonesia. On April 17, 2019, the Indonesian nation held simultaneous general election. In addition to electing president and vice president, the Indonesian people also voted for members of the House of Representatives, Regional Representative Council, Regional Legislative Council in provincials and city levels. There were two presidential and vice presidential candidate pairs, namely Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin and Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno in the general election 2019. The total number of voters was recorded at 190,779,969 people. On April 22nd, Gianyar Regency in Bali was named World Craft City. Gianyar is the first city to become a World Craft City. The title and award were handed over directly by President of the World Craft Council, WCC, in Asia Pacific region, Gadao Hiljawi Kudumi, and chairman of the National Craft Council, Mufira Yusuf Gala, to deputy region of Gianyar, Anak Agung Gede Mayun. The handover of the certificate was held at the Bali Agung Theater Show, Bali Safari and Marine Park. Still from April 22, 2019, the Indonesian Agriculture Ministry officially inaugurated the first agriculture museum in Indonesia in Bogor, West Java. The museum is claimed to be the largest agriculture museum in Southeast Asia. We continue to May. On May 7, 2019, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi led the UN Security Council open debate, which was held at the headquarters of the UN in New York, USA. At the session, Minister Retno Marsudi underscored the importance of training and enhancing the capacity of the UN peacekeeping mission. The open debate theme, Sowing the Seed of Peace, Enhancing the Safety and Performance of the UN Peacekeeping Mission, UNMPP, marked Indonesia's presidency at the UN Security Council throughout May 2019. The theme was in line with Indonesia's contribution in the international world to maintaining peace by being one of the countries deploying the largest personnel for the UN Peacekeeping Mission. On May 21, 2019, the General Election Commission (KPU) declared Joko Widodo and his running mate Ma'ruf Amin winners of the general election 2019. The decision was announced by KPU at the plenary meeting of KPU held at the KPU building. According to Commissioner of the General Election Commission Evi Novira Ginting Manik, Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin won 85,607,362 votes. Meanwhile, Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno gained 68,650,239 votes. We continue to June. On June 1, 2019, wife of the Indonesian 6th President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, Ani Yudhoyono, passed away at the age of 67 in Singapore. Ani Yudhoyono passed away after battling leukemia for several months. She had cancer treatment at the National University Hospital in Singapore. Ani's body was buried at the Kalibata Hero Cemetery in South Jakarta. From June 10 to 15, 2019, the Indonesian government held international yacht rally called Sail to Natuna 2019. As many as 32 yachts coming from various countries participated in Sail to Natuna 2019. The participants were invited to explore a number of wonderful tourism objects in Natuna, such as Batu Sindu, Senua Island, the Great Mosque of Natuna, and Olive Stone Park. On June 18, 2019, the Indonesian-South Korea Infrastructure Cooperation Center was inaugurated. The establishment of the Cooperation Center was initiated by the Korea Overseas Infrastructure and Urban Development Corporation, KIND, a South Korean institution supporting overseas public and private partnerships projects. Executive Vice President of KIND, Taekwon Seo, said that the establishment of the Indonesia-South Korea Infrastructure Cooperation Center, which also serves as the office of KIND in Jakarta, aims to expect it to support the development of investment and cooperation between the two countries. On June 19, 2019, the Indonesian Trade Ministry held a workshop entitled APEC Workshop on Best Practices of trade facilitation agreement implementation with APAC economies, opportunities and challenges. The workshop was participated in by 125 participants from the member countries of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, APAC. Expert staff, Indonesian Trade Minister for International Relations, Dodi Edward in Legian, Badung, Bali, pointed out that the workshop aims to enhance the capacity of the APAC member states in a bid to implement the trade facilitation agreement, particularly concerning the simplification of export and import procedures, which was approved in Bali in 2013. On June 19, 2019, the Samota Zone, which consists of Saleh, Moyo, and Tambora Mountain, was officially declared Biosphere Reserve by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. The declaration was made at the 31st session of the Man and the Biosphere Program International Coordinating Council, MABICC, which was held in Paris, France. On June 23rd, Indonesian President Joko Widodo attended the 34th Asian Summit in Thailand. This summit adopted the Asian Outlook on Indo-Pacific, which was proposed by Indonesia. After attending the opening of the 34th Asian Summit, President Joko Widodo attended Asian Leaders Retreat, the 12th Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle Summit, as well as the 13th Brunei-Indonesia-Malaysia-Philippines East Asian Growth Area Summit. Previously, President Joko Widodo also held bilateral meetings with Deputy Prime Minister of Thailand, State Councillor of Myanmar, Vietnamese Prime Minister, President of the Philippines, and Singaporean Prime Minister. On June 24, 2019, the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, UNPP, obtained the United Nations Public Awards, UNPSA 2019. The agency succeeded in becoming the first champion for its innovation called PetaBencana.id. The award was part of the United Nations Public Service Forum, which took place in Baku, Azerbaijan. On the occasion, former Indonesian Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Syafruddin Prawiranegara stated that the award proves that Indonesia has been more responsive towards the advancement of public service. He also pointed out that through the United Nations Public Awards, UNSPA, UNPSA, Indonesia would be more acknowledged by the international world. From June 28 to 29, 2019, Indonesian President Joko Widodo attended the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan. On the occasion, he raised two strategic issues, encouraging innovation in the field of digital economy in a bid to alleviate gap and improving global economy amid economic uncertainty. After attending the G20 summit, President Joko Widodo also held a series of bilateral meetings with a number of state leaders.
Pernahkah kau bicara
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Radio Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce you a traditional culinary from Buton, Southeast Sulawesi called Kambawe. Stay tuned. Listener, Buton is an island in Southeast Sulawesi province that is famous for its asphalt. 42.08% of land in Buton is used for agriculture, and most of the land is used to plant corn. One of the traditional foods of Buton is called Kambawe. Kambawe is made from baby corn, which is mixed with other ingredients. The food has existed for hundreds of years. Kambawe is a typical snack from Buton. The snack is not sold in public. Generally, kambawe is served during family events or festivity, for example during Idul Fitri or the celebration of Muslims. Kambawe is cooked in large portion and it will be given by a host to his or her neighbors. The host will also feed the guests who come to his or her house. This tradition symbolizes the hospitality of the host. To appreciate the kindness and hospitality of the host, the guests will voluntarily give the host some money. Making kambawe is simple. Firstly, we must clean the corn husks thoroughly. We need to separate the corn from its husk thoroughly. The husk will be used to mold the cake. Afterwards, we must prepare the main ingredients such as 50 baby corns, brown sugar, and grated coconut. Thirdly, we must grate the baby corns or blend them smoothly. After completing the batter, the next step is to mix the corn batter with brown sugar and grated coconut. Then mix the batter evenly. After that, pour the batter into the husks. Lastly, steam the kambawe. Finally, kambawe is ready to serve. Kambawe is rich in taste. The taste can be savory and sweet. Enjoying kambawe will be more flavor with chili paste and fish soup. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Kambawe from Southeast Sulawesi. I'm Puri Savitadela. Thank you for listening.
Kau tunjukkan cinta, kau percayakan hatimu padaku. Walaupun ku lelaki biasa, tak pernah sekalipun kau meragukan diriku. Meski begitu berat langkah kita, kau tetap di sampingku. Hingga hari tuaku, hingga redup cahayaku, semua kulakukan untukmu. Kita kan bersama habiskan usia menaklukkan dunia. Jika habis nafasku, ku pergi lebih dulu. Ingatlah semua tentang kita. Kenalah diriku sebaikku mengenang. Meski begitu berat langkah kita, kau tetap di sampingku. Hingga hari tuaku, hingga redup cahayaku, semua kulakukan untukmu. Kita kan bersama habiskan usia menaklukkan dunia. Jika habis nafasku, ku pergi lebih dulu. Ingatlah semua tentang kita. Kenanglah diriku sebaikku mengenangmu.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany. Today I will introduce you about Irau Tengkayu Tarakan Festival. Stay tuned. The 10th Irau Tengkayu Festival took place over 2 days from 21st to 22nd of December 2019 in Tarakan. The festival was filled with various activities from cultural carnivals to folk parties that presented artists from the capital city. The climax of the Irau Tengkayu Festival that has been going on for generations is the Padau Tuju Dulung Procession, which is an ornamental boat paraded around the city. Irau Tengkayu is a native Tidung tribal heritage, which is intended to express thanks for the blessing of God. The mayor of Tarakan, Hoirul, said the Irau Tengkayu Festival was a merging of cultural wealth and tourist attractions that could invite tourists to come to the city of Tarakan. In the future, the Irau Tengkayu Festival will be held every year, from the previously every 2 years. Since the festival can attract domestic and foreign tourists to visit Tarakan, so it is better if it is held every year. Tarakan City itself has an area of 250.80 km² with a population of approximately 253,000 people. Tarakan, also known as Bumi Panggung Taka, is on a small island in North Kalimantan province. To get to Tarakan Island, you can take a boat and airplane by transit in the city of Balikpapan. Irau Tengkayu has also been established as an intangible cultural heritage by the Ministry of Education and Culture. In its implementation of this year, the Irau Tengkayu Festival opens with choreography of 250 dancers. It is expected that the implementation of the Irau Tengkayu Festival in the future will continue to be of high quality and present increasingly interesting content because it is expected to have an economic impact on the community by both domestic and international tourists. So listener, that was Miscellany for today. See you next time.
Dirimu ku bersumpah.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again with me Putri in Music Corner. Today we will present you a keroncong song entitled Tugu Monas, sung by Kelana Hermawan. This song tells about the national monument or well known as Monas, which is one of the icons of Jakarta and Indonesia. The monument with 132 meters high is a symbol of the Indonesian people's struggle for independence. Monas Park area is also one of the crowded tourism attractions visited by tourists both domestically and internationally. Well, listener, here is Kelana Hermawan with the song Tugu Monas.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.